Just before we turn to the Word of God tonight and the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, let me say it is a privilege to be with you here in Knightswood, Glasgow. I'm very thankful for the friendship I know with your minister now for 19 years, first met in Salisbury 19 years ago in February. He preached on the text, "For to me to live is Christ," and I remember it well all those years ago. Well, I'm thankful for the friendship and the fellowship with your minister and to renew fellowship with you here in Knightswood. And at the commencement of this communion season, may the Lord come in for us and may the Lord bless us, particularly tonight. We are led to examine ourselves and consider those marks of grace. And may the Holy Spirit help us as we turn to the Word, and may we be helped to consider our love, our faith, our desire we have for Christ, as we see here in the Song of Solomon. Well, tonight we're led to consider examination and marks of grace. And as I was thinking of this a while ago, I was led to the Song of Solomon and chapter 1. The Song of Solomon and chapter 1. We're going to look at a number of verses in this chapter, but we'll read verse 2, verse 5, and verse 7. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Verse 5. "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." And then finally, verse 7. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Dear congregation, our Lord, after the resurrection, his resurrection, said unto Peter, after they had dined, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." John 21, verse 15. "Yea, Lord." He responded to the question of our Lord. The Lord questioned him regarding his love. He responded, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And as we tonight begin to examine ourselves and consider these marks of grace, can you say right at the outset, with Christ looking on? For we know the Lord meets with us in a special way, as we see there in Psalm 22, verse 22. In the midst of the congregation, he leads the song. With the Lord here, with the Lord listening, can you respond with Peter, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee"? You may feel that your love is weak, yet you look up by way of faith and you respond to the Lord, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I feel so weak. My faith at times must appear small, yet I know thee and I love thee from the depths of my heart." Well, here in the Song of Solomon, we are presented with the church. We are presented also with the individual believer considering Christ and talking to Christ and making known their love. These are precious words here in the Song of Solomon. Just a brief introduction to the Song of Solomon. There are lessons here for husbands and wives. We learn those lessons in passing, because we chiefly consider Christ and the church. And as we consider the church, we think of individual believers. And as we come to this first chapter, we who love the Lord, we can make these words our own and respond to Christ. Just notice verse 7, right at the outset, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth." There's the church, there's the believer responding to Christ. We chiefly consider Christ and the church here in the Song of Solomon. In the song, we have the bridegroom and the bride. In Matthew 25, verse 1, we consider Christ as the bridegroom. And then in Revelation 21, verse 9, Revelation 22, verse 17, we have the bride, the church. So we come to the New Testament. We see plainly that the Song of Solomon concerns Christ and the church. A little earlier, we sung from Psalm 45, which is, as Matthew Henry put it, a key to unlock the Song of Solomon. And there in that psalm, Psalm 45, we again consider Christ. He is the fairest one. Grace is poured into his lips. And we see there the psalmist knowing this warmth within his heart towards Christ. Oh, to know that more often. And at this communion season, that we might know that indicting that warmth within the soul in view of Christ. Well, we consider the Psalm 45 then. It unlocks the Song of Solomon. But then thirdly and chiefly, we have Christ's own testimony that the Song of Solomon concerns himself. You recall that sermon on the road to Emmaus. He preached to those two, and he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In all the scriptures. And so he came to Genesis, and he pointed himself unto them. He came to the book of Esther. He came to the book of Psalms. He came to the Song of Solomon and showed those things concerning himself. So then, without any shadow of doubt, we consider Christ and the church. And as we think of the church, the individual believer here in the Song of Solomon. Now, in the first chapter, we consider the true believer looking within, feeling their sin, but also we note evidences of grace here in this first chapter. And I like us to think of these things tonight. At this communion season, how important it is that we examine ourselves and we look for marks of grace. We who have loved the Lord for a number of years, it's good for us to look for those marks of grace. Take, for instance, love. What is my love like for Christ this evening hour? The apostle wrote to Corinthians 13 verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Well, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider, first of all, a true sense of sin. Secondly, a sincere thankfulness for the righteousness of Christ. Thirdly, an unfeigned love for Christ. Fourthly, a genuine desire for communion with Christ. And fifthly, a real longing to know more of the love of Christ. First of all, a true sense of sin. Come with me to verse 5. I am black, but comely. I am black, but comely. Now certain ones have considered a number of things as they consider here the church or the individual believer as black. For instance, one could be seen as black through suffering. Just come with me to verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. One black through suffering. There's been the sun of persecution, and it has burnt one. One may be weary, parched in the furnace of affliction. Black, but chiefly black through sin. I am black. And as we examine ourselves tonight, do you consider your sin? Can you respond here, I am black? I feel it. We sang in Psalm 130, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who can stand? Not one of us can stand. I am black. Oh, what sin has done to man. This original sin, the sin of our nature, that which was passed on to us by our parents from Adam. Original sin. I am black. But then we consider particularly actual sin. I am black. We do not conform. We transgress the law, sins of omission and sins of commission. We think those things that we ought not to do. And we say those things that we ought not to do. We sin in thought, word, and deed. Are you saying tonight before the Lord, I am black? You have this true sense of sin. You feel it. You remember that certain one who came in before our Lord and she was weeping. She felt her sin. A little later we'll consider she had love in her heart to Christ. But we must consider she felt her sin. She was burdened. And what did the Lord say? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She felt her sin. Her many sins. Well, in the presence of Christ tonight, do you feel your sin? Are you saying, I have felt thee again? I have let thee down. I grieve thee. I am black. I know what I am of myself. So many have no true sense of sin. Yes, they may be for a few moments conscious they've done something wrong, but they quickly pass on. But what about you? Do you feel your sin this night? It's not a pretty sight to begin to consider the sin within. And you who love the Lord, you must not stay there long without seeking fatherly forgiveness. If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. You see, the psalmist, he felt his sin, but then he turned to the Heavenly Father. And he was comforted that there was forgiveness with him. Have you this true sense of sin? You're looking within, you feel it. Turn then to the Lord. Seek forgiveness. I am black. I know it, even to some small measure. I feel it at this communion season. You have a true sense of sin. Reverend John Brown of Haddington wrote this, a heart affecting view of it in its nature, number, and aggravation. It affects us, doesn't it? My sin affects me. I'm burdened by it. Thankful I am that I can go again to my Heavenly Father. Are you burdened by your sin? Does it affect you? Why have I done this again? I am black. Well, here is an evidence of grace in the believer's life. We feel our sin. We're pricked in the heart. We were in that initial way, but we're pricked in our hearts again. We're troubled by indwelling sin. Remember the apostle? In Romans 7, verse 17, now then it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see that battle? We face a battle, don't we not? Like Paul, we may be saying, O wretched man that I am. We face this battle, we feel our sin. I am black, I don't deserve thee, Lord Jesus. We don't deserve the Lord Jesus, do we? I am black. We have not merited his favour or his salvation. We look on ourselves and we say, I am black. In the presence of the Lord tonight, Do you feel it? You remember Peter, how he felt in the presence of Jesus. What did he say in Luke 5 verse 8? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. How can we approach the Lord? We're sinners. How wonderful is the gospel. How wonderful is Christ that he looks on. And that through him there is fatherly forgiveness and we can draw near. And as we shall see in a moment, we can be so thankful for him. I am black but comely. Is there this mark of grace in your heart? You feel your sin. You remember the publican. He couldn't lift up his eyes towards heaven because he felt his sin. But there we also see the grace of humility. It was evident there. He couldn't look up. He felt his sin. He had been humbled by grace. I am black. Are you saying it humbly to the Lord tonight? You've been humbled by grace. I am black. Moving on, secondly, a sincere thankfulness for the righteousness of Christ. A sincere thankfulness for the righteousness of Christ. What does the church say here? What does the believer say? I am black, but comely. You feel your sin, but are you being drawn to consider afresh the wonderful Saviour and his righteousness? I am black, but comely. If I just look at myself, there's no hope. But I'm led to consider Jesus. I am black, but comely. And we who love the Lord, are we not so thankful for the righteousness of Christ? As we think of a mark of grace, a sincere thankfulness, where would we be tonight? What hope would we have? You remember that leper of old? There were 10 lepers, only one turned back and thanked Jesus. Luke 17, verse 16. Life had been put within his heart. He had eyes to see. There was the grace of humility and a heart of thankfulness. You feel your sin, but are you thankful for Jesus and his righteousness? We still battle with indwelling sin and we say, I am black, but we go on to say, comely. Here's the believer then, looking unto Jesus with a sincere thankfulness. Comely. It's amazing, isn't it? The righteousness of Christ covers us. It was imputed to us upon the event of faith. One received Christ and his righteousness. Comely. We look within. It's not a pretty sight, is it? But then we look to Jesus. He who is altogether lovely. And we consider his perfect righteousness. The robe that covers us. You know, many years ago, a certain older minister was talking with a number of us who were in training. And he was speaking to us about how to deal with those who lack assurance. Turn them to Jesus. Remind them of what Christ did upon the cross. Oh, let's focus on him. What he did. And his righteousness. The devil can come and whisper, look at you. What hope have you got? Look at Christ. You have a great hope. You have the hope of eternal life. This sincere thankfulness then. It's a mark of grace, isn't it? I am black but comely. I thank thee, Lord Jesus, for what thou dost do and the righteousness that covers me. In Philippians 3 verse 9 we read, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We came dressed in rags, but a robe was put upon us, upon the event of faith. Are you thankful for that robe tonight? You feel your unworthiness. You feel you're not worthy at the presence of Jesus, but you are humbly thankful for the righteousness of Christ. Oh, to thank Him. Oh, that the Lord at this communion season would stir our hearts a little more, that we would be more thankful for His righteousness. Just stop and consider. Are you thankful at this moment? You may be saying, I struggle, I fail thee, but my hope is on thee, and I thank thee from the bottom of my heart for thy righteousness. Oh, I should more often tell Jesus how thankful I am. I'll be very honest with you tonight. I do not tell Jesus enough how thankful I am. Oh, to be more thankful. And if one of the things that this communion season we are helped with is this, what a blessing it will be to be more thankful for Jesus and His righteousness. Oh, to be taken by Him. It's not always the case, is it? We go through valleys, we go through times when we struggle, but there are times. The sunshine comes after the rain. And it won't be long before we have this sense of the Lord's nearness and we're thankful and we're taken up with Him. Remember what the Apostle wrote in Corinthians? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Blessed are the times when words fail us and we're taken up with Christ and we know a little more of what the psalmist said. My heart is indicting. Oh, for those times. Those gracious visits of Christ when He draws near. Oh, we need to look to such times. But even on other occasions, we can just humbly sit down and thank the Lord. Thirdly tonight, an unfeigned love for Christ. An unfeigned love for Christ. Here another mark of grace. Come with me to verse 4. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The upright. We could think of the believer. The true believer, they have love in their heart. Or we could consider, they love thee uprightly. It's sincere. It's real. And earlier I mentioned at times, our love seems so weak. You think of a watermark on the page. You can only just make it out. It's hard to see, and at times it may be hard to consider. But is it there? You may be struggling. Doubts may be arising in your heart. But can you say, yes, Lord, though I'm struggling, I do love Thee. The upright love Thee. There's love in the heart. Have you love in your heart tonight? Have you kissed the Son? In that initial way, Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. We can think of faith there, embracing Christ with the arms of faith. We can also think of love and affection, embracing Christ with our love. Have you kissed the Son? The Lord questions us about our love. You remember again how He questioned Simon Peter. After the resurrection, He said, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Can you say that to the Lord Jesus tonight? Is there that evidence of grace? You may be stammering, struggling, but yea, Lord, thou knowest. Dear child of God, what a comfort it is that the Lord Jesus Christ knows. He knows them that are His. He knows them that love Him. What a comfort that is to one who is struggling, who has doubts in their hearts. The Lord knows. The Lord knows that that struggling believer loves Him. If you're struggling here tonight as a believer, take comfort in those words. The Lord knows. Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. My love is so weak, but Lord, Thou dost know at this communion season that I love Thee. I love the Lord, says the psalmist. And in Psalm 18, I will love the Lord, looking to the future. I love the Lord. You notice there, Peter, he responds to the Lord Jesus Christ. I often say to my congregation at home in the sermons, as you hear certain verses, you hear the words of Christ, do you respond to Him? Have you said to the Lord Jesus tonight that you love Him? I love the Lord. I love my spouse, my children, my family, my parents. But above all, I love the Lord. You think of a husband. The husband makes known to his wife his love. I love you, dear. Or some other words. How often, you who are husbands here tonight, have you said to your wives, I love you? How often do we say to the beloved of our souls, we love Him? Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. Is there this unfeigned love for Christ? He is the beloved of my soul. My beloved, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved. I often think of my dear wife, Sharon, as my beloved, but then I think chiefly of Him who is the beloved, the one that lives within my heart. Galatians 2 verse 20, Christ liveth in me. My beloved is in my heart. Is He precious to you? In 1 Peter 2 verse 7, we read, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Just consider Him tonight. He's altogether lovely. Is He precious to you? Do you honour Him? Have you this esteem in your heart? Do you value Him? Just turn over the page to chapter 3. We see there the child of God, they're wandering. But all this comes, then comes verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him. I held Him. He's dear to me. I esteem Him. He's precious. He's lovely. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, her esteem of Him is such that she just admires everything in Him and about Him. Psalm 45 verse 2, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, consider Him. He's altogether lovely. Do you love Him? Just think of Him now. Have you love in your heart for Him? Summer Rutherford wrote, O fair sun, and fair moon, and fair stars, and fair flowers, and fair roses, and fair lilies, but O 10,000 times fair Lord Jesus. Alas, I have wronged Him in making the comparison this way, O black sun and moon, but O fair Lord Jesus. O surpassingly fair Lord Jesus. I've never been disappointed in Him. Often disappointed in myself. But never in Him. He's altogether lovely. He is an object of great love. And I humbly say to Him tonight, I love Thee. Remember that woman again. At the feet of Jesus, there she was crying. She felt her sin. the Lord had worked in her heart, though. She had a true sense of sin, but there was also love. And the Lord spake of her love to Simon. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She loved the Lord. She felt her sin, but she also loved the Lord. Is there this mark of grace in your heart? Have you love for Jesus? If you do, tell him now, right at the commencement of this communion season. Fourthly, move on more briefly, a genuine desire for communion. A genuine desire for communion. Verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Tell me. These are precious words, aren't they? Here the believer's heart is stirred, and the believer is talking to Jesus. Tell me. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. The heart has been stirred. Love has been cultivated. And there's this genuine desire for communion. This holy desire. A mark of grace. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. It's not just words from my lips. But it comes from my heart. And in my heart, I love thee, Lord Jesus. Love in my heart moves my thoughts and my lips. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. We're considering here one who truly is the Lord's. Now we note some interesting words at the end of verse 7. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? There were ever flocks, groups. And in those groups, certain people claim acquaintance, but they're not true believers. I do not want to go with them. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? They claim acquaintance, but they don't know thee. Listen to Spurgeon. There are other shepherds, though they are false ones. And these pretend to be companions of Christ. But why should we turn aside to them? Well, note the request. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Here's the believer having this holy desire, this genuine desire to be near Christ. Tell me. Tell me, my beloved bridegroom, my Saviour, my friend, tell me. We've already considered tonight how we are to respond to the Lord. Let's respond to him now. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Here we're talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you find your heart moved? Do you find yourself turning to speak with the beloved? It's a precious thing, isn't it? Yes, we can say words, but when our heart is moved, oh, it's a precious thing. It's a mark of grace. There's a time of dining, and we pour out our hearts to him. We tell him. You remember that certain woman with an issue of blood? Mark 5, verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She poured out her heart to the Lord. She was trembling. She was struggling. Do you know what that is? To struggle. To be trembling. To be a little fearful. Go and do what this woman did. Pour out your heart. You may struggle even to say words, but just pour out your heart. And the Lord will answer. She told him all the truth. Well, here we read, tell me. Here the believer is talking to Jesus. Speak to me. Make me to know afresh. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The believer knows where the feeding is. The believer knows where those places of rest are. But the believer wants to be told again. Do you want to be told again by the Lord Jesus Christ at this communion season, where the feeding is, where the place of rest is? The believer knows, but the believer wants to hear again. Firstly, because sometimes the believer strays and needs that restoring of the soul. And when the soul is restored, the believer then says, tell me where thou feedest. Secondly, sometimes the believer struggles. We know, but we need Jesus to tell us again. Well, the shepherd will come. He'll answer prayer in his good time. He'll stir the soul and restore it and his strength. Tell me, I know, but I want to be told again. Where I can rest at noon. Where I can be fed. Think of the resting. The allusion here is to shepherds in hot countries leading their flocks to some shady place where they may be sheltered from the scorching heat of the sun. Oh, how we need rest from temptation, rest from affliction. How we need to be so shaded by Christ. Tell me, O Lord, tell me where the green pasture is. Tell me where that quiet place is. Tell me where the feeding place is. I love the gatherings of the saints. So come and tell me again. Here's this holy desire, this genuine desire for communion. Do you desire to know more of Christ at this communion season? You have this longing in your heart. You feel your weakness, your poverty, but you want to know more of Christ. You've been blessed in times past. You want to know more at this communion season. I long for more of thee, Lord Jesus. I desire to be refreshed, even to a small measure. There is this desire for communion. Fifthly, a real longing to know more of the love of Christ. A real longing to know more of the love of Christ. Come with me to verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let him kiss me. We've already touched on this, but let's focus on this. The believer desires to know more of the love of Jesus. Here is a humble but eager request. It's a humble request because, as we've already discovered tonight, when the believer comes to verse 5, the believer says, I am black. The believer knows they don't deserve to know more of the love of Christ, but they long for it. It's a humble, but it's also an eager request. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I'm drawn to him. And I desire to have my heart ravished by his love. Draw me, Lord. Just notice verse 4. Draw me. We will run after thee. You know, left to ourselves, we will not be drawn closer to Jesus at this communion season. Left to ourselves, we'll struggle. How we need the Lord's help. We've been drawn in that initial way, oh, to be drawn closer. When we were drawn to the Lord in that initial way, it wasn't ourselves, was it? When we're drawn in subsequent times, it's not ourselves, is it? We need the Lord's help. Draw me. Draw me, because I want to know more of thy love, Lord Jesus. Draw me nearer. Blessed Lord, and come and kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. Let him kiss me. Have you this longing? to know more of the love of Christ at this communion season and in our lives as a whole. Just notice the end of the verse. For thy love is better than wine. Think of the properties of wine. It's lasting, abundant, sweet, precious, refreshing. And so we read in Psalm 104, verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine. Think of the properties of wine, particularly in the days of Solomon. But now consider the love of Christ. And what do we read? For thy love is better than wine. Think of the love of Christ. It is so lasting. How many years has he loved me? Well, he's loved me from eternity. Everlasting love. It's abundant. Think of wine in Israel. Abundant. Think of the love of Christ. It's so abundant. Oh, to know more of this abundant love. It's sweet, a property of wine. We could consider the sweetness. Think of the sweetness of the love of Christ. That woman again at the feet of Jesus. Her heart was touched by the love of Christ and the sweetness. And as she went on her way, oh, how her heart would have been moved when she heard those words of peace. But also she reflected again upon the sweetness of the love of Christ. His love is precious. Wine is precious. So is the love of Christ more precious and more refreshing. Oh, to know more of them. His love stirs my soul. It's refreshing to me in affliction. Oh, for him to kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him kiss me. Have you this longing for Christ to come and kiss your soul? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And we think here of the child of God longing for the felt love of Christ. You think of a kiss. It's felt, isn't it, on the cheek or on the lips. You feel it. Oh, to feel the love of Christ. And here's the desire of the believer to know this felt love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, to feel it. We know that Christ has a great love for his people, but sometimes we don't sense his love. We don't feel it. Oh, to feel it. Let him kiss me. To be affected by it. To admire it. Let him kiss me. Think further. The kiss is felt, but consider also one has to draw near in order to kiss. And here the believer is desiring Christ to draw near. The Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll consider those words on the road to Emmaus. Jesus himself drew near. Well, it is your desire tonight. Let him draw near to me, that he might kiss me. Draw near to me through the Word and through the Spirit. Let the Word affect me. Draw near to me, Lord Jesus. It's important, is it not, in as far as possible, we attend the gatherings of the saints when he draws near in a special way. And there we cry out to him, let him kiss me. But also in our quiet times, in times of family worship or on our own, we're much in the Word that he might draw near and kiss us. But let's be thankful also. There are the unexpected occasions. One may be struggling. Then suddenly the Lord draws near. As he did on the road to Emmaus, and embraced them. Let him kiss me. Oh, to feel his love. Oh, that he would draw near and kiss me, and I would be aware of it. Just pause and consider, have we not proved in the storms of life that our captain draws near, and the shores of love It may not be straight away, but he has his eye on us, and he draws near. Listen again to Samuel Rutherford. If you would have present comfort under the cross, be much in prayer. For at that time your faith kisseth Christ, and he kisseth the soul. Or you may be struggling. Turn to the Lord in prayer. You may only be able to say, Lord, help me. But he will come. He will kiss your soul. Let him kiss me. Are you saying that to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Come near to me. Embrace me. Kiss my soul. I want to feel thy love. In closing, turn again to these words. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. The kisses, or the kiss of his mouth. The believer has known a little of the love of Christ already. But the believer desires more. The true believer has known a little. But the believer may be struggling. It's been a while since I've really sensed his love. Come again, Lord. Come again. You remember Manoah? He desired the angel to come. And the angel's name was Secret, Wonderful, and we're led to consider the Lord. Let him come again. Let the man of God come. Let the Lord Jesus Christ come again to my soul. I feel the absence at times. I feel the coldness of my love. Let him come again. I've known his love in times past in a precious way. Let him draw near to me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him kiss me again. It's not just one kiss, but another kiss. Have you this longing? Is there this mark of grace in your life? You long to know more of the love of Jesus. You long for him to come, if he hasn't already come tonight, and kiss you, that you might feel it. Precious are the times when we are aware of the Lord Jesus Christ and we sense his love. Let us examine ourselves tonight and consider these marks of grace. Have I a longing for more communion with Jesus? Do I feel my sin? But then I'm led to consider the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and I am so thankful. Have I a longing in my heart to know a little more of the love of Jesus? Just go forward a little in closing and consider heaven. How blessed will the child of God be in heaven? They'd be so taken with Christ. They'd be so thankful with his righteousness. They have such a longing to know more of him. They long to know more of his love, though they're being so embraced by him. Whilst we are here upon earth, all to know a little more of heaven in our lives, when we know more of him and more of his love. I close with these words in verse 7. As you hear these words, can you echo these words to the Saviour? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Blessed Saviour, draw near. May it be soon. And speak to my soul, because I want to know more of thee. May the Lord bless his word, for his name's sake. Amen.